And now let's talk about some people that Americans are necessarily leaving behind as they reduce their troop presence in Iraq. When the American troop surge took place in Iraq a couple of years ago, it was bolstered by Sunni Muslims. They turned against al-Qaeda and fought alongside American troops. It was called the Sunni Awakening, and those fighters took over large sections of Iraq. But now, as many American troops go away, the Sunni Awakening finds itself in trouble. NPR's Kelly McEvers reports from Baghdad.
It was just after sunset last week when Abu Hussein parked his car on a dusty street in central Baghdad, one of the oldest parts of the city. Abu Hussein is a card-carrying member of the Sunni Awakening. For a time, the group controlled large swaths of Iraq. These days, though, al-Qaeda is active again. That evening last week in central Baghdad, Abu Hussein had come to put his Awakening guards on high alert. Days before, suicide bombers had stormed a local army headquarters, killing 12 and injuring 36. When Abu Hussein came back to his car, he found this letter stuck in the windshield wiper.
You, those who have sold yourselves and honor to the occupier, our swords will be very sharp and we will kill you, and your house will be stormed and will be burned to the ground with all those inside it.
The letter was stamped with the seal of the Islamic State of Iraq, an umbrella group for al-Qaeda. Abu Hussein says it's not just al-Qaeda that threatens the Awakening movement, but it's also Iraq's Shiite-dominated government. Control of the movement was transferred from the U.S. military to the Iraqi government in late 2008 and early 2009. Iraqi officials repeatedly promised to absorb Awakening members into the Iraqi army and police. Others were to be given jobs in government offices. But several Awakening members told NPR that members in both groups rarely get paid on time, if they get paid at all. And some are being rounded up and arrested for crimes they may or may not have committed. Zuhair Chalabi heads the government committee in charge of the Awakening. He says officials want to thank the movement they call the Sons of Iraq for helping bring stability to the country.
By disclosing the cells of al-Qaeda, by disclosing the weapon caches in their areas, the Iraqi government issued a presidential decree to have the Sons of Iraq in the government as a kind of appreciation to their heroic acts.
So that's a kind of reward for what they did in the past. But what can they do in the future to help with security? Chalabi says they'll have to join the Iraqi security forces. Awakening members say this is just a way to remove them from their home neighborhoods and marginalize them even further. The movement was born at this tribal mansion about 2 hours west of Baghdad in the Sunni-dominated province of Anbar. It was March 2007 when a Sunni tribal leader announced that a loose band of fighters had come together under one name, the Awakening. In this video of the event, American Marines stand side by side with tribal leaders. Soon after, the surge and the Awakening helped end heavy fighting in the province. In recent months, though, security here has deteriorated. Ali Abu Jihan used to fight against al-Qaeda. He says 2 months ago, a homemade bomb planted outside his parents' house killed his 21-year-old son. Walking toward the courtyard of his two-bedroom house, Abu Jihan says he worries so much about security that he's taught his own wife how to use an AK-47. She grabs the magazine off the couch. Holding her pudgy, wide-eyed 8-month-old in one arm and the loaded gun in the other, Shaima Sadi says she has no choice but to defend herself. Defense analyst Stephen Biddle says it's too soon to think that Sunnis like Sadi's husband can simply dissolve his band of fighters and join the Shiite-dominated army. In this way, Biddle says, post-war Iraq should be viewed in the same way as the post-war Balkans.
I think it would be very unusual for communities as recently threatened as Iraqi Sunnis and Iraqi Shiites were to suddenly be prepared to get along together when it looks like the equivalent of a third-party peacekeeper that kept things stable in the Balkans is leaving.
That third-party peacekeeper here is, of course, the U.S. military, which Biddle says should consider a long, slow drawdown from Iraq rather than its abrupt withdrawal deadline at the end of next year. Kelly McEvers, NPR News, Baghdad.